Blog Talk Radio.
About to lose my mind. So I get up to take a shower. Funky toes are everywhere. So I trust he eating more than me. And I thought it wasn't fair. And it hurts right here. Stuck in here for a year. I miss my girl. And I miss my free world. I really miss my free world. I'm so all alone. I don't know when I'm going home.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's time. Time to open up your mind. Time to raise up your voice. Time to be entertained, enlightened, and learn more about what you already know. It's showtime, ladies and gentlemen, and you are on the online happy hour. For those of you who don't know, this show is designed for all of us to get an outside perspective on the inside of someone else's life. Here we go, blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend, was with a Z. The call-in number, ladies and gentlemen, 646-727-3279. I want to say hello and welcome to our audience tonight. For those who have heard the show before and for those of you who may be listening for the very first time, my name is Andy Brown and this is Ricky Williams. And we live vicariously through you. We're broadcasting live out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Tonight, we're in Irving, Texas. We're here on the mic, ready and hot each Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Central Time. And I want to say a big thank you to all of you who are on the line tonight. Because of you, our callers, our listeners, and our bloggers, because of you, our show just gets better and better each week. And as you know, tonight's not going to be any different. We're going to talk about last week's show, but before we do, let's just make mention. Today is Wednesday, October the 6th, 2010, and this is going to be the continuance of another hot topic. You know, we heard the song open up about convicts spending time in prison, the little things that they go through, that they got to make things exceptionally well in their own behavior. Ladies and gentlemen, just take a mention, take a note to check out the previous link at blogtalkradio.com/howwasyourweekend, spelled was with a Z. For those of you who have a Facebook account, see us at facebook.com/howwasyourweekend, and we just want to keep the party going and keep it right. Ricky's here, ladies and gentlemen. Ricky, talk to the crowd for us.
Man, this show is about to get cracking once again, dog. It's just, we had to do it twice. It was so nice we had to do it twice for the simple reason. For the simple reason, man, this is an issue that's plaguing just not the black community, but every community.
Right on.
You know, a lot of people are getting locked up. They don't know what to do. You know, they got a lot of kids that hopefully we talk to tonight, or hopefully they listening so they can change their path. And we're going to talk to some people who have been locked up and got out and started doing better with their life, man. It's deep. It's crucial. It's fattening at the same time. You know what I'm saying? And so many people try to be thugs because they see it on television. They see a 3-minute commercial, a 3-minute video, and they think it's cool. And they spend like a year, 2, 3 years in jail thinking that they're going to have street cred when life is just passing them by. So we got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, man. We got a lot of issues to talk to and address, man.
Real talk. We're going to get into that in just a moment, but ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say thank you to all of you all who had a wonderful time with us this past weekend. We barbecued, we were in the jumpers, live band, music, the atmosphere was great. Dallas, Texas is a wonderful place to be, and we're going to keep the party going nonstop. How was your weekend? Is the place to be, ladies and gentlemen. Watch carefully for the merchandise coming real soon. But as we talked about last week with the locked-up lifestyle, we had people who had been incarcerated, whether it was state, federal, or just behind bars for any particular amount of time, that chimed in and talked about what it's like on the inside. For those of you who didn't catch that, we can kind of revert and go back a little bit about what we kind of recap what was talked about. For those of you who don't know, you know, one of the things that really shocked me, Ricky, is the fact that some of the drugs that we use in our day-to-day activity, the Crestor, the Prozac, the Cialis,
Ambien.
Man, when you hear about these side effects online, you know, it can cause shrinkage, it can cause, you know, any type of side effects. It increases your blood pressure, it may stop your heart. How do you think they find out about things like that?
It's interesting.
People locked up in prison because they use them as guinea pigs, sadly. You know, if you have a loved one that's locked away, you know, we understand from that last show that it's another world in there. You know, it's some things that they talked about relationship-wise as far as, you know, you may go through a culture shock. Say, for example, someone's been locked away for so many years and they were involved in their relationship with their significant other of the opposite sex. Now they have to go to a solitary confinement where there's nothing but same-sex relationships and same-sex activities. As it was put at one point in time from one of the callers, you either fold towels, face up,
or get folded up.
Or get folded. Baby, it's intense. And I know our callers are going to be chiming in tonight. We're going to have some outstanding people just come back to us. And for those of you in the chat room, go ahead and get loose. I know the topic is going to be pretty intense for our callers. 646-727-3279. We're going to go ahead and get the party cracking and just talk about just a few of the things that we didn't get to chime in about, you know, talking about prison life, incarceration. You know, one of the men that chimed in last week that talked a little bit about being locked up and, you know, having the lifestyle, because we can't judge. We don't know your situation. We don't know who was there. Things happen. You can get profiled. Black men, especially black men. Think about this. The statistics don't lie, ladies and gentlemen. 44% of black men aged between the ages of 18 and 24 are incarcerated. That's 12% of the population of African Americans. If the men are locked up, 44% of them, well, where is the other 56%? They're either in college or either on the street. Pick your poison. That's something to think about. So you have a better risk of going to jail than you do from graduating college. The odds weigh in your favor that you're going to be locked up at one point in time before you even get a job and even start your family. Is that cool, young man? Is that cool, young thug? Call in tonight and talk to us about it, 646-727-3279. Let's go ahead and open up the phone lines, because that's how we do it. We get right to the nitty-gritty, the dirty, baby. E-Dub is on the line, and he is calling out of the great Midwest of Kansas City. E-Dub, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. How's everyone this evening?
What's going on, E-Dub?
E-Dub, I know you've been with us, bro. We definitely appreciate your voice last week, man. We know that you said some outstanding information. You know, we talked about not only about the statistics of who's in there, but why. You know, is it some of the decisions that people are actually making that get them locked up?
Well, to answer your question, Andy, it is decisions. But most of them, a lot of people who are involved or get caught up in a crime misconstrued the decision. They try to minimize the situation. A lot of us might say that I made a mistake. The next few, which is really my way of saying you made a bad decision. Now let me explain the difference between the two. A choice is something that you decide on, which we're still doing on decision, whether to do or what not to do. All right. So, therefore, a lot of us have been raised to know right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
The reason I choose not to use the word decision is because I really made a choice. When you ever talk to somebody, they're going to say, well, you made that choice to do what you had to do. So you made a bad choice. You did not make a bad decision.
Okay. So what we really doing today, Dub, is the fact that, you know, we got some young listeners in, like, a detention home in California that's going to be listening on the show, you know what I'm saying? And
That's why I chimed in.
Yeah. They took a little, they took a wrong turn, but they're young enough to try to correct their mistake and hopefully, you know, get this expunged off their record. But, you know, statistics say if you've done one crime and you're young, it's a strong possibility that you may do another crime. So what we're trying to do today is let these young men and young women know that you do have an opportunity to change.
Oh,
but
for sure.
My thing is, E-Dub, is the fact that, you know, we got so much on television and the media is always portraying us more as thugs and criminals, and it seems like it's more glorified because one minute you're selling crack and the next minute you're a rapper. So you've gone from slanging rocks to being on television, and now you got publicists, but they still singing that they selling rocks.
Wow.
And these kids are so influenced by television because if you constantly see this and it's pumping in your head, they're going to start believing this. How can you let these people realize that, number one, they got a statute of limitation and they still got cold cases that's being solved today? So these rappers saying that they done all this, they sold pounds and pounds, and the real Rick Ross, Freeway Rick Ross, got caught. You got mobsters that's getting caught. You got the Mexican cartels that's getting caught. But why the hell these rappers are not getting caught? And these little kids are not seeing this shit, man. I need you to talk to these kids and let these young men and these young women know that this is not for real. This life is fake. I'm sorry, Jay-Z ain't selling rocks no more. Lil Wayne probably locked up somewhere with in a cushioned seat with cushioned seats. And these little dudes right now laying in cots. Talk to them, man.
What one thing is this a male? Is both male and female correctional facility?
I think it's both.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool because I don't want the young ladies to miss out on some of this knowledge that we're going to talk about, and I hope that there will be other females and males that will chime in. I was hoping the brother from last week would be able to call. We still have time. Well, first of all, I would like to tell y'all that the rap industry is just like the movie industry. It's pure entertainment. A lot of that stuff that you might see, oh, yeah, Lil Wayne got the bling bling. Lil Wayne might have a little money now or whatever, but when they first started out, they rented jewelry. And that's just for the videos. That helps sell. You see what I'm saying? So that's pure entertainment. And then also a lot of them have a story to tell. But you can also have a story to tell without being a rapper. There's poetry.
Right.
There's what helped me out, host. There's poetry, and then there's the other word, spoken word. Spoken word where they tell their story too. You know, if y'all didn't know, the great Tupac was a poet. That's how he got into rapping, by writing poetry. But he also did a lot of reading. Don't be scared to read. Start out reading what you enjoy about. It might be cars. It might be crafting, homemaking, woodworking. Start reading that, and then you'll start reading other things. Don't be scared to ask questions about the politics because y'all are our future. we have no long, our days are numbered. I'm 43 years old. I don't know the ages that I'm speaking to, but I'm 43 years old. So if you any, if your mama 43, your daddy something like that, you they future. We have to rely on you. Just because you made a bad choice doesn't mean that you can't change. You can also, change is good. Because maybe the bad, this is your best decision, your best choices got you where you are now. And your best friends. So you're going to have to start changing people, places, and things that you do. You have to start using your time now, not only to read, but to study what you're reading, know what you're talking about, and make this a habit so that when you get home, it'll be a habit and you do not have to worry about nobody changing your decision because you have transformed yourself.
Yeah.
You don't need nobody to transform you. You can transform yourself. You know what I'm saying? You just think about how many of those friends that was your dogs and y'all homies, how many of them you getting letters from? How many of them coming to visit you? How many of them going about visiting your mama and say, well, look, I don't have much, but here go $10 if you would send it to them or if you would just do whatever you need to do with this $10. Those are true friends.
Yeah.
Think about your surroundings. You know, I could go all night now. Y'all might want to say something because I'm not done yet, and I'm not a Farrakhan. I'm not no preacher. I'm just a real brother that speaks from the heart. And sometimes I have to watch what I say and the way I put it because it ain't what you say. It's how you say it. That goes
Correct.
In anger and everything. You know, a lot of people say, well, they make me, you know, these brothers and sisters might say, well, he made me mad. So he made you mad enough to do some stupid shit that you didn't think about telling your, you know, thinking about your family, your mama, your daddy, how they going to feel. It's people that looks up to you that you don't even know that's looking up to you.
Wow.
They might like the way your swagger, the way you tie your tennis shoe, the way you drink your milk. Who knows? Everybody influences everybody's lives in some type of way. And you have to take heed in the way that it affects you and it will help you better to be a person.
Hey, you know what, E-Dub? I'm glad you called in because, number one, you've been through this. So it's
yes,
not
I
somebody
have.
Talking. It's not just somebody talking numbers. It's not somebody that read a book and just regurgitating this information to these young men and young women. This is information coming straight from the heart, man. I hope y'all listening to this. I don't know if y'all can call in and talk. I know y'all hearing this right now. And this brother been to the penitentiary. Not detention. He's been to the penitentiary, and he's trying to get y'all to not go where he's been. He's trying to talk to y'all people. He's trying to put it on your mind and in your spine so it can move you, man. You probably made a mistake right now, but you can't get back on the course. He got back on the course. Our other callers got back on the course. The thing is, man, you affect so many people. Understand that that's the truth, man. We got one more caller in, you know, from last week. Her name is Latoya, and she's going to speak to y'all as well from a female perspective.
Hello?
Hey, Latoya, how you
doing? I'm fine. How are you guys?
I'm all right.
Good, I would like to speak on the statement that I think that one of the commentators made about where you come from. I want you guys to realize that I understand a person can become a victim of their circumstance, of their surrounding. I do understand that. I am a criminal justice major, so I have a little insight about the way the system is hooked up, and I understand that it is not designed for the African-American. Now, I'm not telling you to use this information to become angry and get angry at the white person and cause a riot. I'm telling you this information so that you can use this information to better help yourself. Because the system is not designed for us and it is designed to keep a black person down, you have to realize there are different ways that you have to approach situations. I need you to understand that because it is not designed for us, and it is designed to keep us down. Let me also throw this out there to you. Those people that are locked up for selling drugs, did you know that the white man actually bought the drugs here to give to African Americans to keep them away from white women? The information is out there. It's out there, but I don't want you to get upset with them for what they did. I want you to get upset enough to do something about it. There are a lot of people that are locked up that don't have information to know that, yes, I have committed a felony, but guess what? I can't. It's the little words that they use, but those little words that are spelled with two letters or three mean a whole lot. You understand what I'm saying? It can change the difference of a sentence. A conversation, if you will. What I'm trying to tell you is that don't continue down that same road because somebody tells you you're a felon and you can't do it. Guess what? I'm a felon and I'm getting ready to go to law school. You can do it. You can do it. Yes, I've been out there selling the drugs, doing the drugs. There's a lot of stuff out there that okay, most people say that they have a record. I don't have a record. I have an album. Okay, and just being real with you, to all the listeners out there, I'm being real with you. To people who say you can't, you can. You understand what I'm saying? So I know what it is to be a victim of your circumstance and be a victim of your surroundings and don't have somebody to tell you that you can do this and that you can do that because you have so much negativity and so many people telling you what you cannot do and passing laws stating that if you are a felon, that you can't do this and you can't do that. But yes, but what they're not telling you is there is a loophole in every law. There's a loophole in everything. You just have to read the fine print. See, they like to read. We like to do. You have to now learn to like to read. Like the young man was saying just a while ago, you read on the things that you like. Don't only read on the things you like. Read the things that you don't like because it is those things that you don't like that will help you get to where you need to be. You need to understand that. You need to understand that knowledge is power. Don't go around just thinking, letting people tell you everything because it is that those things which they told us that got us where we are today, that got us where we were then, and is the reading that has us where we are today. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm trying to tell you is that our ancestors didn't have a choice because they did not know how to read and write. Now you have the opportunity to read and write and have an education. Take heed of that education. When your parents tell you to go to school, they're not telling you to do it for their benefit. They're already grown, okay? They're doing it for your benefit. And I'm telling you this is because this is the thing that's going to help you in this world today. That's the thing that's going to help you get to the next level. It's the education. It's the education that you can walk in and say, yes, I am a felon, but guess what? I'm just to defend this man that's doing the thing that I used to do. That's what it's doing. That's what this education is giving you. You have to understand that. You have to understand that this is a real world, and the real crimes you commit, you will do time for it. But just because you're doing time for that crime, don't let your circumstance dictate your future. Never do that. Never do that because you can change just like I changed. I did a year, day for day, not two for one, and this was in a county jail, okay, for a technicality. When I say a technicality, in other words, I was on probation, and because I didn't report to these people, they gave me a year in the county jail. Understand me what I'm telling you. This system is not for you. What you need to do is position yourself. Get yourself ready. Get yourself started in a way that will help you and help those behind you. Don't think that, oh, my God, I got myself in trouble, so now, you know, I'm just going to continue to spiral downward. Don't think like that. And another thing, I don't think when the guys that are rappers that are speaking about, I don't think that they're glorifying rap. What I think that they're glorifying is the fact that they made it through the prison system that they made for African Americans to degrade us and make us look bad. I think they're glorifying the fact that they made it through the prison system when the prison system wasn't made for us to get through. Understand that the prison system is not made for you to get through. It's made to degrade you. It's made to make you want to succumb to their way of thinking. In other words, it's like a mental and a physical abuse to you. Don't become a victim of your surroundings. In other words, don't become institutionalized and don't let anybody ever tell you what you can't do because you can do anything. Anything that the man sitting in front of you telling you that you have to wear these clothes, take your street clothes off and put these clothes on. The same job he has, you can have that job as well. Same thing that I'm doing, you can do. And that's going to school and getting ready to go to law school. With this on my record, understand me. But because I didn't have the support, and I'm not blaming anybody, understand this. I don't blame anybody. You have to take responsibility for the things that you do. You must take responsibility for it because that's the only way that you're going to learn. That's the only way you're going to learn from what you did, by taking responsibility and understanding that only you can change. Nobody can come up. I mean, I can come up to you all day long. The young man that's on the phone can come up to you all day long. The comments of the people that are talking to you from the radio all day long, they can come up to you and tell you you can, but until you believe that you can do it, then you're never going to do it. It has to be you. It has to start within you. And I really pray and hope that I'm touching somebody, because if somebody would have just came to me and told me that, and told me that, hey, look, you don't have to keep doing this, and you can, because sometimes a person feels like when they're doing wrong that they don't have another way out. That's all that they can do. Nobody else is going to accept them. And it seems like it's hard to get started on that right foot once you've stepped onto the wrong foot. But you can still get back on that right foot. I just want to say that. I mean, I am, and like the young man that was on before me, he can keep talking. I can keep talking as well. I can go on and on and on and on and on and on. But listening to us is one thing. But understanding what we're saying and understanding that the choice has to be yours. You must understand that. Yes, we can talk about prison all day long. I can tell you that prison isn't good, and it isn't. I can tell you that the system is not made for you, and it isn't. I can tell you that this is a political act, and it is, you know, and you are a pawn on a chessboard. I can tell you that as well. But then you can make your own move. You understand what I'm saying? You make your own move. Go ahead.
You know what? Toya, you come in so strong tonight, and I know that our callers who are on the line, and for those of you who are listening in the chat room and also on your home personal computers, this is how we keep real talk. We want to touch somebody to let them know that, you know what, even though you've done something in the past, you know, it doesn't have to dictate your future. So when we talk about supporting one another, Toya, E-Dub, I want you to stay on the line because we have a caller calling out of the city of Kansas City. I think this is Dee that's on the line that has a question for both of you. And, you know, first we'll let E-Dub go ahead and chime in, and then Toya, I want you to go ahead and chime in as well. Dee, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And you are calling from Kansas City, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Dee. What's your question?
Hi, my name is Demetria. I have a question. My brother is incarcerated, and he's been pretty much in and out of jail majority of his life, and now he just got sentenced to 14 and a half years. And my question is, how do you support a family member who is a repeat offender, and they constantly tell you while they're in there, I've changed. When I get out this time, I'm not going to do anything that's going to put me back in there. How do you support that person who you love but really don't believe? You know what I'm saying? But you know they need your support. How do you do that?
Please, can I answer that question?
Wait, E-Dub.
I would like, okay.
Okay,
first
I would really love to answer that. Oh.
Go ahead. I'll let her answer first.
Okay, I would really love to answer that question. First and foremost, you must accept the person for who and what they are, okay? Now, because you don't make those choices for that person, but that person makes the choice, you have to have agape love. Because in that person's mind, they really want to change. If they're telling you that they're trying to change, but they might not have, okay, first of all, they may be looking at you and saying that, okay, you've never done nothing, you don't understand, you've never been in trouble, you don't understand. These people are sweating me, they keep nagging me, I can't find no job, you don't understand. I got my family that want me to do right, I want to do right, but the system won't let me do right because the system is telling me that I'm a felon and I can't find a job. Now I go over here to this place and I ask these people for a job, and this job right here is I'm working at a convalescent home, I'm wiping tail. So explain to me what type of education do I need to do this job. Why are these people giving me such a hard time? Why can't I even get a job on a trash truck? understand me without an education. Why is it that I'm having such a hard time? My thing is this right here. That person that says that they want to change, stand back and watch them. They will change. Just give them the love and support that they need. Trust me, if they're telling you that they want to change, they're going to change. They're just trying to find that little door that's open. See, there's a little door that will open for them. And as soon as they find that door, they're going to walk through it, and nobody's going to be able to pull them back. And even if somebody did pull them back, guess what? Continue to love them, because they'll get a taste of that good life, and they'll go back, and they'll stay. But just when a person does wrong, don't expect them to jump on the train and keep going. Sometimes a person will fall off. You'll keep falling off while you're trying to jump on that train. That train is still moving now. Understand, the world hasn't stopped. Everything in the world keeps going, even though you're locked up. The world outside is still going. So that means that train is still moving, but you're still trying to jump on that train. But if you fall off that train, just when that person falls, sometimes reach back and pick them up. Don't you know, degrade them and tell them that, you know, oh, my God, you'll never be anything, and how could I do it, and we came from the same mama, and you can't do it. And this, each person is different. And mind you, you don't just have your mama and your daddy's DNA, but you have your mama's and so on DNA, and you have your daddy's own. That's how DNA goes. So,
okay.
You know what? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I hear what you're saying. Okay, I guess for me, I need to.
I would like to. It's my turn.
Okay, for example, my brother and I are feuding right now. Give me 1 second. We're feuding right now because I don't believe in sending my brother money. That's just my thing, because if my brother asks me for money while he's locked up, to me he's being selfish, and that's because he has 7 mouths that he left behind. Now, if he was to call me and say, hey, little sis, can you go buy my daughter a pair of shoes, I don't mind doing that. But for you to ask me to send you some money when you got babies out here that you're not even supporting, that these mothers are raising these kids on their own, I feel like you a man. You messed up. You should be able to go in there and do this hard time and do whatever you feel like you need to do. Then, you know, I just, because I got kids to take care of, I just don't believe in sending him any money. And so now he's like, I don't love him. I don't support him. But then that's hard for me because I do. So
don't let him pour in your emotions, because guess what?
Sawyer, stop for a second, because we definitely got to let E-Dub jump in on the first question and on the second question, because, number one, as a man, he was locked up himself. So, you know, he can really talk to her about this, too. So, E-Dub, you know,
please,
if you want to answer both of those questions, my man, get share some light to D, because he needs to know what's up.
Can you refresh me on the questions? Because I've been thrown off so much. I've been taking my notes on different points that I want to say. But please,
well,
I got so deep into the conversation.
The first question was, how do you support a person that constantly says that they are going to change and they don't? And he just did 14 years. And the second question is, she doesn't believe that she should help support him while he's in jail because he left 7 miles out. So the first question is, how do you trust and believe him? And the second is about support.
Okay. May I ask a question? She had mentioned earlier that the young man had been in trouble several times. What was the first time he ended up getting in trouble? What was his...
Everything is pretty much been related to drugs.
And, I mean, I'm talking about the age that he inclined to.
Probably around 16, 17.
Okay, I can understand that. Things start small and they progress, you know, to grow. Now, what I want to say, to address the real question that you have on how do you cope with this? I think you really answered your own question just a few minutes ago. I just wanted to make sure what I was saying and what points y'all were on before I answered.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you really answered your own question when you said that the young man just did 14 years.
No, he's currently doing 14 years in the federal prison.
Before that, how much time has he done?
He's going to be in and out. He'll do 2 here, year and a half here, 3 here.
Okay. So, As you done counted, he done did 6 years. By the time he gets through with all this, he'll be done a 20-year bit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So after 2 years, you knew how that felt being away from your family or whatever, and he went back again. Maybe it's technicality. Maybe, you know, because, you know, I fell off too. I never went back, but I fell off too. I got in trouble.
Right.
But also, the number of chances that you that he's done gotten, I've gotten. Everybody has to make their own decision. But the decision that you have to make this, you did time with him the whole time he's been doing time. Evidently, y'all close. Now he's doing another 14-year bit.
He
got 7 miles to take care of that he left behind.
Right.
Evidently, he's calling you for help, and you helping the 7 that he left behind plus him. Therefore, somebody has to go just for a little while. And you have to have tough love. You have to tell this young man, look, look, I love you. I'm sorry, but it boiled down to help you or help them. I understand you made a choice trying to feed them. We've been practicing this for quite a while. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know the age limit of the kids. But when it comes, yeah, brother's going to do everything they can to feed their kids if they that type of man and they standing on manhood. Now, so evidently he had those choices. But after so many period of time, you losing track of being with your kids. That's the most important thing. So sometimes there has to be a decision made. Now, if this is a real man, he's going to be like, I understand. I'd rather you help out my people out there as much as you can, and I'll wait on y'all to help me because at least he eating in there.
Wow.
He got time so he could think about what the what's going on and what he's doing. Three, he can read. He can read. Start using. He needs to start using some of this time to focus on himself because if he can't help himself, he can't help nobody else.
Okay.
And that's real talk. A man got to be a man. Now, we do have impersonators, and we do have some punks out here. Well, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, you were being real, so I feel you.
But what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is, a man, and you might hear my host, Ricky, say this again, a real man is going to stand as a man, and he's going to know his man, because if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And nowadays, we have to get back the grip of being men and being, if we born a child, we have to be in that child's life and do right and take care of that child and start changing some ways and things that we think about and our direction and do right. Because all I admit myself, I am one of the ones that caused some of this confusion. Because now, even though these young men and women may not have been around me, it's been some young people around me that's done seen what I was doing. So therefore, now you got to come back and step out and say, yeah, I made that bad choice. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to do this. There's other directions. That's what I mentioned about, my young lady mentioned about. You know, I'm the person that I'm not scared to ask for help now anymore.
Right.
You know, everybody, I feel, my decision is I feel everybody needs some help. This support is going to help him by telling him this. And I wouldn't do it over the phone. I wouldn't do it in no letter. I would go down to the facility that he's at, and I'd talk to him face-to-face.
D, this is Ricky. You can't go to the to the place.
I can go to Texas, but I'm in Kansas City, Missouri. So that you know, financially,
he,
that's where, something
where
I
is
can't
he,
do
where
right
is he
now.
Located? Where is he located?
He's in Texas.
What part of Texas?
I can't think of the city, but he's probably like 3 hours outside of Houston.
Huntsville.
Is he in
you
Huntsville?
Know what? I think we passed by that facility coming home from Houston, Andy. We seen them boys out there on them horses.
That's it.
So,
yeah.
Dee, D, you know what? I know in my life I've had brothers and sisters and cousins that have been in jail before.
That don't make me cry.
No. Hey, it was gonna make me cry. Just thinking about what I want to say is, D, is the fact that, you know, I had an opportunity to answer a phone call when they called collect. I hung up. I had opportunities to write because, you know, I went to school, high school, college, the whole nine, but I never did because I thought if you keep doing this and you keep – that means you don't care enough for me to stay out. But the fact is you never know what a letter may do. You probably say, you know what, it's true the way E-Dub said it's not what you say but how you say it. You probably can let your brother know, hey, you know what, I got enough money to help out your kids from time to time. So I can't do for you. But what I can say is that why don't you, since you got 14 years in, why don't you try to get your degree on the inside? Because, again, Rock, I forgot his real name, but Rock, he had a show, Rock. He got his master's. He's an actor.
Charles Dutton.
Yeah, he went to jail. He got his degree. You know, so you probably can say, hey, bruh, I ain't got the money to send you, but I got enough to help your kids. I got kids, too. But what you can do is get educated on something. Learn a craft so when you get out, you don't have to go back to selling drugs or using drugs or robbing people. You know what I'm saying? It could be that word that can help him. I understand that you're tired because take it from me. I was sick and tired of my brothers and sisters because I'm like, you hurt my mama. And you hurting my daddy. Because, again, I came from a two-parent home. So I thought, be thinking with my crazy ass, I'm thinking, your ass shouldn't be going to jail because you didn't come from a family like that. Not from my immediate family, of course. But yet, they kept putting it. So I was pissed off. You dig what I'm saying? So I understand how you feel right now because I'm like, why in the hell your ass keep going back and forth to jail and you hurt everybody that love you? You must be the dumbest motherfucker in the world for you to keep going back and forth to jail and hurting everybody. So I understand where you're coming from. But on the second note, you need to look back and say, hey, you know what? They there. They can't do nothing about it. So instead of me putting them down by not talking and being silent, because silence hurts worse than speaking.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Curse them out all you want. You know what? You probably curse him out every day. But guess what, sweetheart? He know that you're still talking. You see, I hurt my sisters and brothers by not even talking to them. That hurt worse. Not sending a letter, not calling, not saying happy birthday, nothing. Because I was so upset that you hurt me. You probably be upset right now, but you have to look at the bigger picture. The bigger picture is by you not talking to him, by his kids not calling, by no letters coming. That's going to hurt him worse, and he going to think that I can't do shit else. I can't do shit. I'm a fuck up. So guess what? I'm a fuck up even more inside and when I get out. So, sweetheart, you got to understand, if it's a little support, baby, a little bit is better than nothing at all. So I know you upset. I know you want to say fuck him. Call him and say fuck you for hurting me, mama, your kids. Fuck
tell him
all
in his
that.
Face. Tell him in his face if you can. Don't call on the phone.
Yeah, if she can't, if you got to make a trip, if you got to save up some money, borrow some money, and tell him face-to-face, and he see this pain on you, it can change. Because I know when I talk to my brothers,
sometimes people, if you will, let me just chime in for a moment. Sometimes when people are doing things that it depends on what they're doing, they think that they're doing it for the better. Like, if you can't find a job, they think that selling drugs and getting money will help my family. Sometimes people make bad choices for a good reason. And I know that might sound a little crazy or for
effect.
I said that
a minute ago. That's
yeah,
what
sometimes
I just
people
said
might
ago.
Make bad decisions for a good reason.
So
but you have to understand that. I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
A scholar doesn't be not a scholar. But a person don't become a master by doing the same mistakes over and over. It's not. Don't take it as a bad analogy or whatever. But therefore, after so many times of making the same mistake, you have to look at not because for one, you're not just as well as they mad about what they done. Don't you think they people mad too? Because a person is only worth. I feel they more out here in the world trying to change. If they ain't changing nobody but themselves, which is self-preservation is first. So if you ain't not doing nothing but working on changing yourself, you know what I'm saying? That's better than doing nothing else. You know what I'm saying? So
I agree with that.
After so many times as a repetitive behavior. You know, sometime down the line, you're going to have to tell them stop because I'm saying if you keep seeing a person putting their hand in fire and you're like, what's wrong with this person? You know what I'm saying? Right. After a while, if you love them, you're going to take them to get some help, even if you have to deceive them to get them where you want them to be because you love them so much. So somewhere down the line, she's asking this question because she's hurting too.
Exactly.
Right on. She needs to get herself cleansed. You know what I'm saying? So she's got to tell this person how she really feels, how it makes her, you know, all that, man, it's got to be opened up because this person has to realize not only have you messed up your life, you have messed up several people around you's life.
Right.
I don't give a damn what the decision you made and how long, after so many times, I don't give a damn.
I feel like my brother has abandoned me because we've always been close. And now that my parents are both sick, I mean really, really sick, and I'm here by myself
because
now I have to deal with everything. And so, you know, he'll call me and say, well, you know, how come you didn't go check on mom? Because my mom has lung cancer. And then my dad is also sick. We just found that he got fluid on the brain. So, I mean, I'm just dealing with a lot. And I'm just like, who are you to call me? You know, I'm like, are you serious, dude? And I just get so frustrated sometimes with him. And then now, like I said, we're not speaking because he asked me for some money. And I was writing him and everything. They got this little, you know, email thing going on, which I thought was really cool. And he's like, I asked for some money, and, you know, you didn't send me anything, and I really needed it. And I'm just like, are you for real? So I'm really pissed off at him right now, and I still love him, but it seemed like it's like, when are you going to wake up and realize that you put yourself in this situation, and, you know, you need to fix it. You know, I mean, he's my brother's, what, like 37. You know, so when you get out, you're going to be damn near 50. And when you get out, you still got 8 years to back up on paper. So, I mean, like she said, the system is not for us. It's totally against us. Your kids are going to damn near be grown. So it's like you need this wake-up call. And I'm sure he's realizing, hey, I really messed up. But
you know what,
I still want to support him.
If I can, real quick, I ain't trying to cut you off. I'm sorry. If I can, real quick, that's why I feel it's very important that you go and talk to him face-to-face. Like Ricky said, if you have to save for it or whatever, you know, you can write letters, but faces is worth a thousand words to me.
Right.
You can write a letter. And if y'all that close and he see the expressions that's on your face when you tell him and the things that y'all going through and the things that you're going through with your mom while he's gone, if that doesn't help that brother and uplift up him to give him a chance to change, well, we have to find some other alternatives. But you are the one that can change this.
You got to help him out, man. You know, because
wait. She is not the one that has to change.
Yes, she is.
She is
the locomotive. He's the caboose.
Let me tell you something. Sometimes a person, step out yourself for a moment and just for a second and try to step into another person's shoes. That may be hard to do if you've never been through anything.
No, I've done it. I learned that in treatment.
Let me say this. Let let me say this, please. Sometimes a person may feel like you owe them something. A brother or sister may feel like you owe them something because you are my brother and you are my sister. Okay? You have to look at the way he's thinking right now, not the way he's feeling, because I really don't at this point care about how he feels, because right now the way he's treating her is like dirt. But let me say this. The change has to come within him, and in order for him to see that she means business, she's gonna have to stop being a sucker. In other words, if you tell him one thing, he's like a child at this point. If you tell him one thing, you must stand on what you just said, and I mean stay right there. I don't care how much he cried. Just like a child, when you tell a child something, to rear a child right. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to praise you when you do right, but when you do wrong, I'm standing firm by what I said. I told you I wasn't going to write you when you went in. I told you don't call me when you went in, and I mean those things. And if you don't, if you keep suckering down and saying, oh, man, let me go see him, let me send him $10, well, darn, you taking care of him in the state. Nigga ain't going to do nothing. He ain't going to never do nothing. Why? Because he got you to take care of him. He got you to take care of his family. He got you to write him. He got you to act like his mother, his brother, his mother, his girlfriend, and his wife.
Okay,
right.
Stop doing that. That is another point. That's two sides.
Stop doing that. You got to say this. Okay, listen. When I was locked up, yes, I wouldn't let anybody visit me. I wouldn't let nobody visit me. I don't want nobody to visit me. Don't come. Cause see, if I get a taste, if I get a look of outside and have to go back in inside this jail, and I know I got to go here and I can't go nowhere else but inside there, depress me. Don't come up here and visit me. Don't write me, because here I'm torturing myself. You understand what I'm saying?
See, you had that attitude. Everybody's not like that, because this is like my mom. My mother's on a fixed income, and she sends him $100 every month. And I'm like, why do you take that money from mom? You know she barely paying bills. I mean, I'm on the other side. My mom was like, well, that's my son, and I love him. I'm like, that's the problem now, because he knows that if he gets locked up, you're going to support him while he's in there.
I feel like he
needs to be in there, and he needs to really think. We need to love him. Yes, we can send him letters, but the financial support, I feel like this is when he needs to get a hold of his so-called real friends and say, hey, man, I need some money. You know what I'm saying? You don't need to be calling your old girlfriends or church's mothers and you know, sisters and mom and dad saying, I need money. It's like a hustle. You was hustling out here. Now you need to hustle while you're in the inside and not take from your family.
Let me intervene here and just kind of let you know that we Dee's got a serious point. I mean, she's making a very valid point. I mean, family is as family does. Like, I mean, that's a lot going on. I mean, it's kind of hard to say what the best decision is. Dee, hold that thought real quick. Toya, E-Dub, just kind of hang on the line while we bring on another caller that wants to chime in and talk about that locked-up lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who are listening on the line, 626-727-3279, we take our calls from all over the U.S. We're nationwide, baby. We're going global in a minute. We've heard from Kansas City. We've heard from the ATL. We're live in Dallas, and we're going to open up the phone lines to a caller from the West Sea of Philea, baby, California. You on the line. Talk to us. Yusuf, are you there? He's not able to speak to us, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what it is, what about that phone service he got going on, but, brother, you might want to switch over. I can't tell you who to switch over to, because they ain't paying our bills right now, but the carrier you got right now just ain't cutting it. I want to kind of bring this to light, maybe bring our panel to a topic. I mean, we've talked about, you know, family and money. We've talked about their situations. And it's one thing that definitely is going to change. I mean, even though you've been incarcerated for a period of time, there's a serious lifestyle change that takes place. So we talk about when you're inside and you're in confinement with someone of the same sex, you know, the monogamy, not the monogamy, but a better choice of word is you're in there with someone of the same sex in a practice and a personal habit that could be, you know, deciphered or changed is your relationship, your sexual chemistry, your desire to want someone else. So for whatever period of time that you might be with someone, it may be hard to develop or maintain that relationship that you may have on the outside. So I know it can be kind of tough, but I want to touch upon that relationship side and see, you know, what happens? You know, what's in that person's psyche? Do you just up and abandon thinking that I'm going to have a different relationship when I move into another circle? Or am I going to maintain the activity that I see on the inside, which could be same-sex, similar activities that are going on? Let's keep it going, baby. Caller from California, you're on the air. Caller, time and age at 3-3. Who is this?
Hello, can you hear me now?
We can hear you. Who is this?
I mean, it's useful. I had to change over to my boy's phone. I don't know what's on my T-Mobile phone. How you doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. Yusuf, say hi to Toya and E-Dub.
To Toya and E-Dub, how you guys doing? You know what? I'm sorry about my phone. I just got, you know, I just need change to the iPhone or something. But, man, I wanted to chime in real quick. Man, I'm over here in L.A., you know, in Compton right now because I got my own football team. I coach Little League. And, you know, we're right now probably in the worst place for L.A. I can honestly tell you right now as far as the gang violence, the killings, the murders and stuff like that, man. So, you know, I went to college, everybody, I went to grammar and everything. I was one of the lucky ones, but, you know, I did have to serve some county days, a couple of weeks at a time. I didn't do no real pen time because I was a little bit smart. I was just really just lucky enough to not get caught with doing a lot of stuff because that's some stuff that I was supposed to get all day. But you'd be surprised at how many young cats, I don't know if these callers can relate. The new thing is a lot of these youngsters, man, they want to go to jail to get that street credit, that street credibility now. That's the new thing out here in L.A. They want to go to jail, so they can get that street credibility now. Is anybody familiar with that out there in the South? Is that what the youngsters are doing? Because, see, I'm with the youngsters on a daily basis now.
Yeah, this is Rick, but, man, how you doing?
What's up, homie? How you doing?
All right, man. To be honest, dog, it's the truth. It's what you said, how many people want to come out and, go to jail, get street cred, and try to say they tough and try to say that that's the route to be a man. But I'm going to tell you the truth, man. The biggest thing is to have a male influence in your life because I realize you ain't got to go to jail to be a man. And like I said, I don't know if you heard earlier, man, we tried to talk to some kids that's in a detention center in Cali right now. Hopefully they listen. And it's the fact that that doesn't make sense. What makes sense of you sitting in jail with another man? Let me say this again. I'm going to say this slowly. What sense does it make that you have in your mind to define yourself as a man when you have to shower with a man, sleep in a room with a man, and you are always around men? Most people would not say that you are a man when you are around nothing but men 24/7. So I want you to understand that, little boys, young men, that it does not make you a man when you got to shower with a man, when you just always around men. I want you to get that in your mind. That doesn't give you street cred. Because if you ask me, I think you undercover. A lot of people probably think that you undercover because right now you at your sexual peak. You finding out about sexuality and you around nothing but other men.
Are you trying to keep it on the down low?
So you know what I'm saying? I want to put it on their mind right now that doesn't say that you a man.
Right.
Because they've got a lot of undercover people that's in jail.
That's right. Yeah, so, you're right about that.
So let's put that on their mind.
Yeah. And you're right,
you know
man.
What I'm saying? I want to put it on their mind on that right there, Yusuf. So, nah, you ain't
no
man.
Right, you're right. You know, and, you know, right now I'm in Athens Park right now, man. Everybody's Nixon Gardens right down the street wide so I can walk over there. It's so grimy out here, man. And,
you know, I've been working with these kids for the longest, but the excuses you get is mostly some of these kids, let alone don't have a daddy, don't have a mama. You know, these mamas ain't even stepping up no more. You know,
right,
let's keep 100. Let's keep 100. I'm tired of these motherfuckers. And I'm really tired of these women over here making excuses that there's no man involved. You know, I just got one of my youngsters, man. He's 19 years old, man. They just gave this nigga 119 years of life.
Damn.
119 years? He didn't even do the murder. He drove the car. Out here in California, if there's a murder involving a gang, you get damn near more than a nigga that shot. This nigga just got 119 years of life. So he's gonna be there all day.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand what this man just said. 119 years.
That means
if he died twice, he got to come back and do another life sentence.
Right. I go out there, man. I go see him because, you know, most of these kids I've raised, man, it only takes one mistake. You know, hanging out, smoking some sherm, in the fucking projects, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm going to be honest. I'll be on the streets, you know what I'm saying? But I'm very, very wise now compared back in the day because I used to get in a lot of trouble where I was supposed to be good, probably getting 119 years of life, to be honest. You know, I'm so paranoid to come out of this motherfucking now because these youngsters, man. You know, I was driving my car and some youngsters about 12 or 13 walked across the street. You know, I locked my damn doors in my car inside. I locked my shit. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm terrified now. These youngsters, man, they don't give a shit no more, man. They don't care about going to jail.
Now, what is it particular that concerns you about this youth?
They don't give a fuck. And they don't respect the elders no more. You know what I'm saying? And I've been around this neighborhood since I was a baby. You know what I'm saying? I gotta watch them. I can't trust these youngsters no more. You know, but what I can do is help out the ones that I can help out. And I can't help them all out. So, my wife, she might get mad at me because I'm having some kids over by the house, you know, because, you know, and after all, these kids in the project, they come to my house, they probably think they're in heaven, you know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of these kids eat noodles and top ramen noodles every day with hot dogs.
Can I chime in for a moment? Let me just say this. What you're saying is true, and I understand everything that you're saying. But when you said that the women are not stepping up these days, I'm cringing on that because the mothers are there, but somebody has to work. So if the mothers are working and No, somebody said the mothers aren't stepping up. I'm thinking if the mothers have to work because the daddies aren't around, then exactly what do you expect this mother to do because she has to work like two or three jobs to take care of these kids that she have. Now, understand me. I don't think that she should have had if after you have one child out of wedlock or what it didn't work. Let's not try for two. Let's go ahead on and get that one raised and then move on. But, you know, but because she didn't do it that way, but she is. The child is in her care, and she is taking. I mean, the child isn't sick or anything, and the only thing the child doing is getting in trouble. And I'm not trying to talk lightly about that, but I'm just trying to say that I'm sorry. You saying the mother's not stepping up? She is there, but somebody has to work to keep the lights on and the water on.
Understandable. If I can, maybe I made it wrong. In LA, most of the women out here. If they ain't got no job, they still ain't at the house. I'm talking about the women that ain't absolutely doing shit. That they ain't got no job and ain't even at home. So I apologize to all the women out there that have the single parents that did a working. I didn't mean to say it like that.
Yeah, because,
Yusuf, finish.
Okay.
Go ahead, Yusuf.
Yeah, I hear right here where I'm at, in this neighborhood over here, and about a 5 hour range, these bitches ain't doing shit, man. They're going to sit down on their ass and get that county money. That's all they want to do, sweetheart. Woman ain't working, ain't doing shit out here. What we're going to do right now is
have the definition of the woman who is handling her business with the child and the women that's not, Yusuf. You see, the thing is, some of these children right now, they're on the line too. You know what I'm saying? They listening out there in Cali. And I understand that, you know, some of the mothers aren't doing things, but they've got a lot of kids who have the mothers who are doing some things. And some of these kids are getting in trouble as well because we got to look at the problem that some of these kids You know what I'm saying? Well, what they're going through, you dig what I'm saying? What I'm saying is I understand that gang life, for one, they shouldn't be in a gang. Number two, they didn't made it to a gang.
This is Ace's fault.
Yeah. And what happens is they turn to that gang because they're not getting the attention, they're not getting the love, they're not getting the responsibility. That they really need to say, you know what, you know, this is my family. They turn to that because it's something that I can be a part of. You know, mom is doing her thing. She's working hard, but mom isn't giving me the attention that I'm craving for. Mom is working. I see mama working, but I don't want mama to work. So I'm going to get out here and I'm going to do my thing because I am the man of the house at the age of 12 years old. I am the man of the house at the age of 14. So I need to step my game up and do what I know that's quick, that's easy, and it's going to make this dollar and help mama out so mama don't have to work no more. Now, everybody ain't going to be blessed and benefit to go play ball in the NBA or in the NFL or even the MLB. But you got to think about that. The chances are more likely, look at the statistics, not even because, I mean, even in California, larger population, larger statistics. We've seen Menace to Society. We've seen Boys in the Hood. 10-15 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, the movie was about a statistic. It didn't end with happily ever after. It ended with death, violence. Sure, they didn't go to jail. Sure, they wasn't incarcerated, but somebody just got out. Doughboy just got out. Old Dog just got out. It wasn't glorified, but it was subtly introduced into the picture. Now, what we fail to realize is this. Now, watch this now. Because you don't have that particular role model, and I know mom is working hard. I know mom is doing her thing. And daddy may or may not be there. But there needs to be put in place, for those of you who have your businesses, something that you can do to encourage someone, pick them up by the arm, pick them up by the hand and say, little fella, young man, stop sagging. Your identity is bigger than BET.
Right.
Your identity is bigger than Lil Wayne. You carry that style because you know not your own. Step your game up and find your craft and find out who you are called to be so you don't have to just become a statistic. Now, the role models are out there. What you choose, the easy route is to be lazy, to be sluggish, and to be thuggish. And we know the consequences. The media is going to tell you to be a thug, to be a gangster, to go to jail, because it's cool. Paris Hilton, go to jail.
Lindsay Lohan, go to jail. And she get out. But see, one thing that these kids don't realize is that these people who go to jail, they go for a year, and guess what? They not with general population.
Right.
They got their own little personal cell that they sitting in, and then they come out and try to make a song about it, saying that they was that they some killers. Now, I want you to understand one thing, young men, young women. They got gangs in jail. They got the Mexican Mafia. I don't think Lil Wayne is going to be too cool with the Mexican Mafia, so with the Aryan Nation. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Plexico Burris is in general population with these cats. You see, so you need to realize where these cats are. You need to realize where you are. I'm trying to tell you that being in the streets don't do anything for you but make you another statistic. It's not cool to rap about somebody died. It's not cool to say that you done shot somebody because you done hurt somebody's family. You're not a man by doing that, man. You a pussy. I'm going to be honest with you. So I hope you listen to this, and I'm not trying to be too X-rated because I really do get like that, but I'm trying to talk to y'all seriously, man. Ain't nothing cool about you trying to be a gangster. That's television life. Understand one thing. After Lil Wayne make his video, he's going back home. After you see these actors who went to school for acting, after they play their role, they go on to the next role.
Right. This is not their personal behavior.
This is not who the hell they are. Method Man used to be a solid gold dancer. I mean, he used to dance on Soul Train. But now he a gangster. Let's be honest about this. Research who you trying to make your role model, man. Rick Ross or Rick Rosé. Understand the real Free Ray Rick Ross compared to the rapper Rick Ross. Free Ray Rick Ross had millions and was paying off DEA agents. And he got caught. But yet and still, a rapper saying that he's selling dope never get caught. That's not the truth.
And think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Not even for the children, but also for the adults, you know, especially those knowing that the American prison system holds about 1.4 million inmates in cramped up, unsanitary conditions with very little medical care. Not to mention the HIV infection rate is nearly five times of that of people who are not even in prison. I mean, think about that. With inmates who participate in unprotected sex, they share needles while they use their own drugs that they got to make, or those who ship them inside. You know, the prison system is the perfect incubator for deadly diseases. AIDS, syphilis.
And then they bring it out here.
And then if you're lucky enough to get free, you know, think about that. Now you want to try this relationship or you want to try doing your thing and pass this on to somebody else?
Because that's what a man does, right?
He wants to go get his woman. Now think about that. E-Dub, talk to us a little bit about that, man. Share your take on this.
I think E-Dub has stepped off the line.
E-Dub, we need you, man. I mean, I know you want to speak up on this body.
Hey. Can y'all hear me?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Okay, I've been taking my notes on different other things or whatever that everybody's been talking about. I have so much to say. I'm going to try to get this done in a very few minutes and just hit on everybody's point. You would follow me because sometimes I don't tell you where I'm going. I'm like a professor. Okay, well, they were speaking on, just as you last talked on the rap scene or whatever, it's a lot of these young people that may not know about Chubb Rock or may not know about some of the old school rappers, but if their parents had followed rap before, to make a long story short, Chubb Rock was a rapper.
Yeah.
But when he got into rapping or whatever, he was studying for his master's and doctor's degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know? A lot of people don't know about that. There are a lot of rappers, out there that back in the day that spoke on knowledge, but they obtained knowledge at that time period, you know, based on their lifestyles. They wasn't a statistic. So you don't have to be a statistic, as they say. They did a lot of reading because their rap spoke and told their knowledge level where they're coming from. So
yeah.
I just wanted on that. Now, as far as the grandmas and back to the young boys, back to the grandmas and the young kids or whatever, there was an incident here in Kansas City, Kansas, a few years ago, no more than three, where a young man, he did his first robbery with his friend. And this young man hadn't been in no trouble all his life. He's probably in the ninth or tenth grade or whatever. And by him doing this first crime of trying to rob a white guy out at the car wash, after the laws have been changed, which I told y'all need to start reading out the news and everything, the laws have changed where you can carry a concealed weapon. Well, they're trying to rob this guy. And the guy defended himself and shot this black young man. This was this young man's first crime. So back to what we were speaking about, it could be your first, it could be your 15th, it could be your 20th. You don't know how long you got here. Something has to change, and we have to change in our youth first. The talker out in L.A. mentioned that he was one of the lucky ones. There are a lot of them. A lot of them just haven't been caught. Don't mean that they didn't do the crime. They just haven't been caught on their crime, like he said.
Absolutely.
He should have been doing, as the numbers he gave out, he should have been doing life. Me, myself, personally, I should be probably doing life. I got away with, because I was incarcerated trying to sell drugs, I got away. They gave me 20 years and ran it in to two tens. I got a 10-year bit. But when I got this bit, regardless of the age, I was 34 years old. I should have my life in order by now. I didn't have my life in order. By the time I don't get off until next year, I'll be 44 years old. The point that changed was that incarceration. That's where I learned. Me, myself, I took my personal inventory and had to find a change in my life. That's where I learned how to save money. There's nobody sending you money. I worked in the kitchen. I was making $8.50 a month. But some of y'all don't want to make $8.50 an hour? You seeing this?
Wow.
You seeing this as a rapper that they got this money? But then you don't see the outcome of it? You just see the glorified part of it? Yeah, I worked in the kitchen. I'm going to touch on all bases if y'all just give me a few minutes. Worked
Go ahead,
in the kitchen.
Man.
I hustled cheese. They talking about a hustle. The lady called in about her brother locked up. He need to find a hustle. Yes, he does. He need to do something. He need to go to the law books and help and educate these people on how they can stay out of prison. Start doing some lifestyle skill classes or whatever and teaching them some of the things that he has learned or whatever. That's what we're trying to do tonight, is teach y'all some of the things that those that have been incarcerated has learned. Now, I didn't have the feeling that I owed anybody or whatever when I got locked up. You know what I'm saying? Because I was selfish. You know what I'm saying? You do owe somebody something. You owe your mama and your daddy if it ain't nobody else, and you owe yourself. First and foremost, you got to change. As I said before, I have excuses are not to be excused. You can think of every way in the book of how to do, about why you got locked up or why you where you are. Let's minimize the situation. Let's talk about what that person did to get them locked up and where they are. Everybody has a choice to make. Don't nobody force nothing on you. You decide whether you want to do it before you even done it. And if you're thinking it, you're doing it. Because if you have a positive attitude that I'm finna do wrong, you're going to do wrong. If you think of the negativity or whatever, what somebody's doing to you, how come you can't think about the flip it and say, well, what did I do to them? Because while you point one finger, there's three fingers pointed back at you. And that's all day long. Point a finger out and see what the other three get you. You dig what I'm saying? I ain't including about the thumb, because half the time when people were thinking negative, they got their thumb up their butt.
Sounds good.
Now, another point that I want to come back is real quick, is some of the things that these people that we started out to do to change. I know I talked on a lot of them. But you have to make a habit. You need to use this time to change when you get out. Your boys, your girls going to come. Girl, you done changed. Boy, you, nigga, you's a punk. No, you're not. No, you're not no punk. You just a more wiser punk, if you will. You got sick because... And it ain't what you tell them, it's how you tell them. But if you can remember, you just say, look, yeah, I made a bad choice or whatever, but I counted on you to call me, send me a letter or go by my mama's house, see if she need a yard rake, see if I can cut her grass or whatever, we homies or whatever. And then they don't have to do that because they don't owe you that either. You owe your mother that. So as I just gave you an out, I just put you back in the fire because I know how you're thinking. I was that young man too. I grew up in a childhood where my mama worked two jobs and drove to CMSU. I'm in Kansas City, Missouri, too, Kansas. Drove to CMSU, which is about an hour away, to classes to better herself to be in education. You see what I'm saying? Everything is not going to be rosy. You're going to do some things that you ain't wanting to do as far as work. Don't do nothing to discredit me, to bring down your discretion of, you know, who you are. If you're a man, you're a man. If you, that never accept it, I don't choose it, and I don't agree in it. If you're gay, you're gay.
Mm.
You know, the only thing you have to deal with is God on that.
Okay.
The only thing you have to deal with is God on that, or your higher power, if I will. So, all the things I'm doing in a short note is on choices and decisions. And if you're going to make a bad choice, you talk to somebody older than you. If you trust them, find mentors, trust them, talk to them and say, look, how I've been feeling. I'm scared. Just no feelings. Because holding all that in, I think, is what got, like, myself and a lot of young people, the unknown and the curiosity always gets you. You want to know about it. But if a person comes out and tell you the outcome out of it from beginning to end, there's a lot of us that won't listen, but there's at least one that will, and then we can take a chain from there to the next person. But we all have to be together. It takes a village to raise a child.
Hey, that's real talk, E. Ladies and gentlemen, E-Dub kicks it and tells the real. This is real deal. You only going to get this on the online happy hour, ladies and gentlemen. 646-727-3279 on the online happy hour. We've had some wonderful conversation tonight. You know, but before we even wrap this up, E, hold tight. Toya, I know you're there. Hold tight. But D wants to come back with one final question. We're going to wrap this up real quick. And D, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just got
okay,
one question.
What's the question, sweetheart?
Okay. What type of programs are there out there for people that have been incarcerated that's trying to get out and trying to start their life over and do better? Because you guys say that it's really hard that when you get out, you're trying to find a job and you got all these different obstacles. So are there any national programs or meetings that, you know, felons can go to try to get help, to try to find a job? What type of system is there for them?
Oh, okay, go ahead. There's a lot of programs out there. A lot of times it has to deal with a lot of initiative and it has to deal with a lot of research. I believe today, even though that you are a felon or whatever, still should not be without a computer. Not only to look for jobs or whatever, but there's a lot of information out there as far as that. You know, there's a lot of places that refurbish computers or whatever. I'm not going to go real in-depth in that. But there's a lot of programs that various city gives. Like in Kansas City, we have the EOC. You know, they'll help you find a job. A lot of times anymore, as felons, which is what I did, because I didn't want to go through the referenda or whatever of saying, okay, you're a felon or whatever. I did work for someone. But when I got out of school, I was out of jail 2 days, and then I enrolled in a trade school. As I progressed through that trade school, it was something that I'm passionate about or whatever. I went on to get my certificate, got a job in that field, learned and kept going, and would not turn down things. And I got my master's, which now I own my own business. Most felons sometimes, they can't always open their own business, but there ain't no school going to turn you down. So just because a job turned you down don't mean that you don't have to educate yourself and maybe start a job of your own. If you will, the blue-collar worker is what turns the United States. If it wasn't for Walmart, different other things, the different grocery stores, and a chain that you have to have every day, necessities, then You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't, these other white folks wouldn't be making no money, or whoever has the money, if you will. I didn't mean to say it like that. So whoever has to, it's programs out there, but you have to educate yourself and you have to research yourself to find out what you want to do. Like the lady said, she was locked up. She studied criminal justice. Just because you're a felon don't mean you can't study criminal justice. You can be the paralegal. The paralegal is who really does the legwork for the lawyer. So, therefore, you might not be able to get a license, but you can have, I'm quite sure there's a way you can have a business as being the paralegal, and you do the research for the lawyer, which if he's going to turn out to be a bad lawyer and a tough lawyer, you the one did the research for him or her. So there's business opportunities for everybody. Do not let these folks say that you cannot be nothing.
Okay.
Because one, you could be, hey, like the Army say, all you could be, I just wouldn't advise going to the Armed Service right now. That's just me.
Another thing, D, there's always a Job Corps. Anybody that's incarcerated probably have an opportunity to go to Job Corps. You probably could go to, like, an ITT Tech. You can go to a trade school, man. You know, you can learn how to be a carpenter. You can learn how to, you know, if you watch HGTV, they got millionaires who are carpenters. So, you know, people who's been incarcerated, man, they got millionaires who's been incarcerated. Go into politics, because most of them bastards have been in jail. You know, and I'm saying it jokingly, but
he's telling the truth.
My thing is, a lot of people think just because you've been to jail, your life is over. I want to tell you, your life has just started over again.
Right.
They had this lady when I went to college. She was 81 years old, and she got her degree because that's something that she wanted to do. The thing is, you have to realize if you want to do it, you can do it.
Absolutely.
It's out there for it to be done. If it's a possibility that if your brother wants to go to school and cut hair, they got a lot of barbers to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're not looking for the fact that you've been to jail. So he can get his barber's license and after that open up a chain of barbershops.
Right on.
So if anything that you want to do, you can do it. You can start from zero and make it to millions, man. It's out there. But one thing that you have to realize is if you want to do it. If these kids want to change, they will change. If your brother want to change, he will change. If my brother want to change, he can change. But it's got to be in him. You could talk to you blue in the face. Be there to support him, but you could talk to you blue in the face. If he don't want to do it, it will not get done. That's my final word. But my last word that I really got to say is to these kids. It's about excuses. And this is something that I learned when I pledged my fraternity. Excuses are tools of the incompetent, used to build monuments of nothingness. Those who dwell on them shall seldomly succeed. You can use any excuse that you want, my man. You will not succeed with that excuse. You will not get forward excuses, man. So get on your grind, get on your hustle. Get educated, man. That's the only way you're going to make it in this world. Unfortunately, that's the only way you're going to do it. If you can sell dope, you need to go to school and be a mathematician, because if you can weigh some grass, you should be able to weigh anything else. Become a mathematician. If you can rob somebody, why don't you go to school and become a locksmith or people who build alarms? It's out there for you, my man. Anything that you did, turn that negative into a positive, man.
Real talk. We've had a wonderful show, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you for tuning in. You know, as we wrap up this show, I want to thank my panel for their insight. I want to thank Toya and E-Dub for chiming in and just keeping it real. You know, me and Ricky are always going to keep it real each and every. I want to thank the fantastic folks who called in and who have been blogging and expressing their thoughts. D, I hope you got some great information tonight from all of us who were here. You know, I want to say thank you, because how was your weekend is the truth. And the Blog Talk Radio, the online happy hour, is here to stay, ladies and gentlemen. Join us live as we live vicariously through others And if you had a good time tonight and you got great information, so, you know, do us a favor. Tell three more people to tune in with you next week as we come back with another hot topic. Why is it so many black people have rims on their cars, sitting on leather and wood, flossing about stuff they don't even have or they don't even know? At the same time, they rent furniture and they rent houses. They live in check to check. They don't even have a savings plan or an insurance plan. Think about that. The norm of black America, ladies and gentlemen, financially frustrated. They are. They don't have it, but they act like they do. So log in, listen, and learn, fam. My name is Andy Brown. This is Ricky Williams. Go mob to my frat. Good night to my fam. God bless you. And we gone.